Now, his theme is the temple and the reconstruction and the refurbishing of the temple. That was the supreme passion of this prophet. He not only rebuked the people for their delay in rebuilding the temple, but he encouraged them and helped them in this enterprise. Now, this man Haggai, he constantly referred to the word of the Lord. You will notice that as we go through the little prophecy here. Verse 2, he says, "Thus speaketh the Lord." And then verse 3, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying," and so on. You'll find that all through this book. And he puts the emphasis there. Now, this man apparently willingly humbled himself that the Lord might be exalted. And the thing about Haggai is that he's very practical. Nothing poetic about him. He's prosaic. Frankly, he may bore you. I hope he won't, but he may be very boring to you. He's very simple. There's nothing that will lift you to the heights, actually, here. In fact, he carried a measuring stick around with him. And he is the one who said that 2 + 2 = 4. He measured everything. And he's very practical. And I think that the prophecy of Haggai and the epistle of James have very much in common. Both of them put the emphasis upon the daily grind. They get right down to the nitty-gritty. They get right down where the rubber meets the road. Both of them deal with nuts and bolts of this life. And they show that action is spiritual. A do-nothing attitude is wicked, according to both of them. Both place the yardstick down upon life, and work is the measure of life. Now, it's one thing to say to the Lord, "Lord, Lord," and call him Lord. It's another thing to live like it. Remember, he says there's going to be those in that day that are going to say to me, "Lord, Lord, look what we did." And he said, "Well, I don't even know you." They weren't doing the will of God. They weren't working for him at all. And you remember the Lord Jesus himself gave the parable about a man had 2 sons. One's son, he says, "Go out and work in the field." The boy says, "Sure." My, he had a testimony meeting and he told how the Lord had saved him and how he's called to the mission field. He's going out and work, but he never did go. He never really did anything. The other boy, he said, "No, Dad, I'm not going." He was out of the will of God. But time went on and he saw that he'd made a big mistake. And finally he said, "Dad, I'm going to go out there." And he didn't have a testimony meeting. He didn't have a lot of palaver over it. He didn't make a big deal of doing God's will. He just went out and did what his dad told him to do. And the Lord Jesus asked the very searching question, "Which one of them you think really did God's will?" That's a question the Lord asks that's pretty easy to answer, friend. Now, Haggai is the man that says, "You're going to have to go out and go to work if you're going to serve the Lord." Now, he's so practical in that, that very frankly, a great many today are going to turn away from it. I can't find anywhere where he ever had a church banquet. He never put on one of those. He never spent time doing the easy thing. He said, "You're going to need to go to work." And he's going to emphasize that. And that's something that's very important. Now, Zechariah, now he's different. Zechariah was poetic. He was visionary. And he had his head in the clouds. He didn't have his feet on the ground. But Haggai was pragmatic. He had both feet on the ground. You see, both of these men need to go together. The man of action and the dreamer need to walk together. The poet and the pragmatic individual need to go together. It's very important that they do. And so over the little book of Haggai, you can write, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. And that is a good picture of this book that you have here. and it makes it a rather remarkable book. Now, I've already given you some of the background in Ezra of this little book of Haggai. They prophesied to the remnant that had returned, and especially when they got discouraged, which they did. Now, as I said, that Haggai and Zechariah, they approach it from two different viewpoints, one from the practical viewpoint and the other from the very poetic viewpoint. This man, Zechariah, my, he had visions. If you want an example of what I mean, he saw a woman coming through the air, and she was in a bushel basket. Now, here in Southern California, all the cults and isms and schisms and schisms, they've all had women play a prominent part in their ritual, their service, and in their public image that they give. But I never yet have heard one of them that had a woman floating through the air in a bushel basket. Zechariah went and won better, and he would really go over in Southern California. But Haggai wouldn't go over in Southern California. He's too pragmatic. Somebody says we're going to call a prayer meeting in order that we might be able to build a temple. And Haggai said, look, all right, if you're going to have a prayer meeting, you have it at night when we can't work. Because in the morning at daylight, I want you to bring your hammer and saw and come out here. We're going to build a temple. And you know, a lot of people don't like that. Prayer meetings lots easier for them because it enables them not to do anything. Now, don't think I'm minimizing prayer. I'm not. But there are a great many people who pray and don't do anything. They are not like the man that Bishop, I forget now, Bishop Muzan, I guess it was down in Georgia many years ago. He says when a man prays for a corn crop, God expects him to say amen with a hoe. That is something that is needed today. Now, we are going to find something else about this man that makes him quite remarkable. He dates his messages. He actually, in a compass of 3 months and 14 days, according to the calendar, he delivered 5 messages, and each one given on a specific date. And we'll get them as we go along. You have the first one given on September the 1st, 520. Now, don't tell me how I know that. We'll talk about that next time. The second one he gave on September the 24th, 520. And the third one he gave on October the 21st, 520. And then he gave the fourth message on December the 24th, 520. And then the fifth message he gave on December the 24th, 520. Now, somebody said to me a long time ago, and I'd never thought of it, they said, why in the world did he give 2 messages on December the 24th? Well, I said, I suppose the reason is that the next day is Christmas. He wanted to be home with his family for Christmas. The party turned and walked away from me because they didn't think that's an adequate answer. Well, that means I just don't have the answer, my friend.